Thank you so much. In just a minute, Carl serves up a fresh slice of key rhyme pie in our listener limerick challenge with whipped cream. If you'd like to play, give us a call. 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Charlie, a Washington, D.C. councilman faced with increasing crime rates, believes he has a solution. He wants to ban what?
Criminals.
That might help, actually. No.
He wants to ban convenience stores.
No. I'll give you a hint. These
Prime
things
folks
are
of Targets.
Portable, highly dangerous to your cholesterol level, easily concealed in your belly.
He wants to ban, like, fast food?
Not quite.
Hamburgers?
And covered in your choice of sausage or pepperoni.
He wants to ban pizza?
He wants to ban pizza slices.
Delivery or slices?
Jumbo pizza slices. Oh. Crime is not caused by poverty or by super predators. It's caused by extra pepperoni. Mm-hmm. D.C. Councilor Jim Graham has condemned his own district's strip of, quote, jumbo slice pizza joints and the way they attract drunk, hungry people late at night who inevitably start brawling. Owners are up in arms, saying the proposed legislation unfairly targets pizza joints for being, quote, popular. What's interesting about the situation is that due to a recent Supreme Court decision, though, passage of the law would mean that you may not be able to have or carry a large slice of pizza in Washington, D.C., but handguns are okay.
Yeah, you couldn't ban criminals because, in that case, only innocent people would commit crimes.
That's a good point.
Wow. Wait, no, it's not. No, wait.
Wait a minute.
It's a little hard to.
Yeah.
Pizza's starting to make sense now. Can you get two slices? Or is that like a multiple felony?
No, apparently these places. Two counts of pizza.
Yeah.
Apparently these. Imagine a pizza the size of like a manhole cover. And these are enormous slices that are offered on these places in Washington, and they attract the wrong crowd. Because right-thinking people want appropriately sized pizza.
Mm-hmm. Can you hit somebody when you're holding a slice of pizza the size of a manhole cover?
I don't know.
Fold it first.
Okay.
You can poke them with it in the eye, maybe.
Roy, good news for the beleaguered publishing industry. While things are going south in just about every way, a new study shows that people in publishing do what more and more successfully than any other profession?
I know people in publishing, and I'm drawing a blank.
That's right. Draw blanks. No.
No. You'll have to give me a hint.
Remember that story of how J.K. Rowling started out writing Harry Potter on napkins? Well, they were cocktail napkins.
Oh, drink more.
Yes,
oh,
they drink more.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Move over, Mad Men. You and your carousing advertising buddies have been replaced by the hard-boiled and hard-drinking editors and associate editors and authors, of course, of the publishing biz. This survey by the British Department of Health found people in publishing, media, and entertainment abuse the most booze, an average of 44 units per week. Mm. And that's substantial. In publishing, a unit is equal to how much Hemingway drank every day. Mm-hmm. But we really didn't need this survey to tell us that the publishers were all drinking. How else do you explain the publication of the new young adult series, Captain Morgan and the Search for Cuervo's Gold? Or the hit novel, Cold Frost-Brewed Mountain? Mm-hmm. Or the Maya Angelou reissue, I Know Why the Caged Bird Burped the Alphabet?
It's the last thing they cut back on, but they cut back on books, and then finally.
Yes, when there's nothing left.
Right, yeah.
Charlie, the economic director of Hardin, Montana, says he has a plan to, quote, bring hope and opportunity to his town. He's asking the federal government to send Hardin what?
All our terrorists.
Yeah. Yes.
Bring them to town.
The Gitmo detainees. In a remarkable show of bipartisan unity, Republicans and Democrats in Washington together rose up to tell President Obama that he'll have to move those prisoners at Gitmo to the South Lawn because the thought of having dangerous criminals in their states gives them the vapors. Not so for Hardin, Montana, which thinks that an influx of highly allegedly dangerous, alleged terrorists is just what the town needs. They even have a brand new, so far empty jail there for them. Mm-hmm. The Gitmo detainees will bring needed federal dollars, international fame, and of course they'll become a symbol of civic pride. We imagine Hardin celebrating detainee roundup days every summer. culminating in that great moment where one selected prisoner emerges from his cell, and whether or not he sees his shadow, he's thrown back in it for an indefinite period.